Hey everyone, it's Jesse Gasparo. This is the Practical Christian Podcast. With me, we have Jesse Baptiste.
Hi guys.
And Steve Campbell.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Great to see you both.
Thank you, Lord.
Good, good. The question today is, with technology, we can gather anytime online. Is there importance to meeting in person or coming to a building? Can gathering together in the Bible be adapted to our time? Very applicable to our time period, especially after the last few years. Mm-hmm. Brother Steve, do you want to just open us in prayer, and then I'll let you take us away?
Okay, sure. Yeah, let's pray together. Our God and Father, we're so thankful that we can have a little time now to look at this question and look at your word, and to realize that even though it was written in different generation and different time, yet we can be guided in all times. And we have the same edition of your word as it always was. And so we're thankful for this. We pray that you will guide us and encourage us, and we pray for others who have made contacts from the community for their own family needs. We pray for these things, difficult times that we live in. We pray for the one who has brought this question into our discussion this evening. We give thanks for the evident interest in considering how these times and your word would go together. And so we just pray for your wisdom and help as we would look at your word together. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I agree with what your introductory remarks were there, Jesse, that it's definitely a very applicable subject. We have probably many of us, or maybe all of us, listening and considering these things tonight. It's nighttime while I'm talking. We've gone through a time where we couldn't meet in person for a while. And so now we've come to use technology, just like we are this evening, to have conversations together remotely. And there's some really tremendous opportunities because of that. I'll give a couple of thoughts, and we could go in a few different directions, I think. I was going to read a verse, first of all, in Acts chapter 1, which is really kind of, or Acts chapter 2, rather, where they're kind of the beginning of the church age, as we might call it, when God created this new entity that is called the church. In Acts 1, first of all, there was a time, even before the church began, where those who were following the Lord Jesus, now he's ascended to heaven, but they remained together. And in verse 15 of that chapter, it says that Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and they were gathered together. And then in chapter 2 of Acts and verse 1, it talks about how this group was all together with one accord in one place, and they were sitting together. And so there was this emphasis on togetherness, and the development of things that took place in the book of Acts and into the epistles, this is something that was emphasized a lot. Now, I think the question is, if we're together remotely, are we together? Can we still manage to carry out some of these things in a united way, even if we're gathering together, we're listening to a Bible message online, we're having some interaction as brothers and sisters with others while we're online, and how does this sort of, you know, meet those characteristics of this togetherness that was established as the pattern for the early church? And so I'll just make a couple of remarks. One is that there's a lot of one another's in the New Testament. I'm just going to turn to the book of Romans now. And in the book of Romans chapter 12, when we start to kind of observe the pattern of the Christian life, there's a lot of togetherness. There's a lot of one another's, some of which, you know, we can sort of imagine that in an interaction online, maybe they would be similar. But there are things in chapter 12, like preferring one another in honor, verse 10, and in chapter 14, verse 19, it talks about edifying one another, building one another up. And in chapter 13, verse 8, it talks about showing love to one another. And so there is this definite emphasis on not just, I think, you know, being present at a certain moment, but really making sure that we do understand one another. We know one another. We're kind of part of each other's lives. The local gathering of believers that we call a local church, a local assembly of believers. There is something very important about a community that's together. So I would just say that the scriptures do emphasize this togetherness as far as being involved in each other's lives, not just sort of sharing an experience, but being involved in each other's lives. So that might be a starting point, and we could maybe go in a couple other directions too, but I'll just suggest that as an opening thought for now.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was reading an article where a church closed, like they sold their building because they said, like, we don't need our building anymore. Mm. They were like, well, we're all virtual. And I even saw in the same article, they were talking about like the metaverse church or something like that, where people are going in VR and stuff like that. So I'm just like, it makes me think, yeah, and there's convenience in it. And I think technology could be used in a way that, you know, to reach people, to reach a broader amount of people. It does lose some aspect of, you know, fellowship and you know, having that, you know, that fellowship one with another, because I mean, you're not seeing somebody. It's hard to care for somebody that you don't see, right? I mean, it's just, I mean, like, that's why, I mean, like, even if you look at the, like, and I want to use this analogy in terms of dating apps, right? You know, you start off, there's nobody that continues the relationship virtual, right? I mean, we get married virtually, we're dating, I mean, like, after a while, you meet the person and you have to find out if you're compatible. You're building a relationship, right? And so, I think it's the same way that you can start off that way, you know, maybe, you know, somebody watching a video online or, you know, listen to a message or doing something. But at some time and point, I think they have to come and have a physical, you know, have a physical confrontation with one another, because then how do they feel a part of the church as a sense, right? I mean, you know, a part of the body of Christ. We need one another for growth. We need another for encouragement, for growth, for building up. And it's just, it's hard to care about someone that you don't see. And I remind me of that scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, don't be interested only in your own life, but care about the life of others too. That's a different translation, but I just use that translation to show that we have to care about others, and we can't care about others. If you don't see somebody, it's hard to really know what that person's going through, what they're thinking or how they're, how spending time with somebody, you get to know somebody. So kind of like that, I believe.
Yeah. I was thinking along the same lines with just intimacy, and you were talking about dating. I was thinking just long distance relationships, because when I was away at school, my now wife almost left me a few times because the relationship isn't the same. The relationship suffers, and I think everyone can. I think we've all experienced being virtual, especially, you know, these last few years, not seeing your family, not seeing loved ones, not seeing people that you normally see face to face and having to see them through a screen. It's great we have this technology and this ability to communicate better than we ever could in the past, but I don't think anyone would say that there wasn't something missing, right? Mm-hmm. And there's something missing when you're not within someone's presence. And so, like, just the ability to see someone that you see, you know, see your, like, for a long time, I didn't see my mom for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then finally being able to see her and, like, give her a hug and, like, how are you doing? It's so much better than just this, you know? And so it's a challenge. You know, we're grateful for technology. We're grateful for the ability to use it. And I think technology has a place to be leveraged for spiritual things. But it doesn't replace the, you know, in person kind of being together. There's something that's not there.
Yeah, I think that it might come back to sort of asking ourselves, what do we think, you know, a church relationship is? What does it mean to be part of a community of believers? And if we feel like Christian activities are limited to, you know, hearing a Bible message, or you know, watching a group of people singing some good Christian music, those are great things. And I agree that there has been some wonderful opportunity. I know people that, you know, they've interacted across the ocean, across the continent with people that they never could interact with before. And certainly, yeah, in a time when we were limited in our interaction, it was really wonderful to use this technology. And it still is. There are people who, for health reasons, can never get out to a Christian meeting, you know, even before, you know, apart from any quarantine requirements or any other restrictions, they just couldn't get out to a Christian meeting. And now they can make this additional connection. But I do agree that with kind of where the trend of this conversation is going, that if that's all we feel we need from a group of other Christians, we just need to hear some Bible words and hear some good music. We might not really appreciate everything that there is in a Christian testimony, being part of a local community. When you read about how Paul wrote to the Corinthians and there were, like, families were serving one another, there was a household, the household of Stephanus is mentioned. They had devoted themselves to the service of the saints. There was interaction. People were, you know, hosting others in their home. People were encouraging others, instructing others. And so there's a lot of in-person activity, which is sort of kind of almost, you know, the default position, the definition of a local community of believers. So I definitely agree with the sense that we don't want to ignore the benefits of technology. We want to leverage them for what they're good for, do things with them that we couldn't do before. But then there could be a danger in becoming satisfied a little too easily and saying, well, that's good enough for my Christian experience, when I think really God has intended us for a lot of interpersonal activity, not just, you know, on Sundays and maybe an occasional, you know, midweek second meeting or Bible study or prayer time, but really to be part of each other's lives in a much more ongoing way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we have to look and say technology is good, right? I mean, we're able to have more reach than ever before. You said we did Facebook, whether, Twitter and YouTube. There's many ways for Christians to get the word out and to reach more people. But as you said, it's a tool to be used and not a replacement. It's supposed to be used in tandem with the community, church community as a whole, right? And that's the danger that people may feel, that it is convenient, right? I mean, it's convenient. You know, I know people tell me, look, I don't even have to get out of bed, right? I mean, I could just listen to things. But I mean, the honesty is that, I mean, like, to be honest with yourself, if I'm in bed listening to something, how much of my attention does it have, right? I mean, you know, I could be in bed watching TV or, you know, watching something on my phone, and it brings a level of convenience or leisure. And I think it's something that we have to also be aware of, you know what I'm saying, that we can be fooling ourselves too, that we're listening and we're involved, and we could be home, you know, because I was sitting one day and I was like, oh, I'm not going to go to this conference, right? I got things to do and stuff. So I put on the conference on the TV, and I find myself tinkering in the kitchen, or I'm doing, it's like you find stuff to do because you're home, right? I mean, you know, that's the nature, right? You're like, oh, well, I got this thing to do. And so that's the danger is the focus. I believe that when you sit down and you're under God's word, it should have your direct attention. Again, I'm not saying that it doesn't have its place. I'm just saying we have to just be aware of how the enemy could come in and fool us into thinking that we, because we're there, that we're taking it in. And so that's another thing I worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah, the verses that have kind of been in my mind thinking about this question. The one was in Matthew 18, verse 20, right? For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst, right? So the presence of Christ is there in the gathering. And so that should matter, right? And so just, and even practically speaking, like when we talk about, you know, it's one thing to hear a sermon, you know, virtually, if you can't be there, it's, you know, and technology is nice that, you know, we can even get recordings and other things that you can get benefit from something, even if you weren't able to be there. But when it talk, like practically speaking, when you talk about the bread and the cup, when you talk about the emblems or the sacraments, whatever people want to call them, those are physical things, right? It's not, those are physical things that you're, it, what it represents in Corinthians, right? It's the communion of the body of Christ. So it's a thing that's done in unity with all these believers together. And so there's something that can't be really done virtually, you know. So there's just practical things that Christianity is, you know, supposed to have that you lose through these virtual means.
Go ahead. Finish your thought there. No, I was going to add, I think what you brought us to is something that's really significant also, that the reference in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, about the Lord's Supper. Chapter 10 is where it says that it's the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. And there's this act of fellowship and sharing. And like you said, there's these physical things, you know, where our senses are involved, you know, when we eat and we drink and we touch these literal objects. But there's another thing too, that I wanted to go in this direction just to build on this, since you took us there. There's something else that happens too when we are gathered together in a place, and that is that there's a testimony to the community where we're meeting as well. Mm-hmm. And 1 Corinthians 11 says about how we're gathered together in one place. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. When you come together in one place, now, in the case of the Corinthians, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. They were not treating it honorably, and so there's correction. But they were coming together, and it should have been, to eat the Lord's Supper and to observe that sacrament, and they were misusing that. And so they're given instruction on how to do it correctly. And it says in verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This word proclaim is there. It's an announcement. It's a herald going out and making an announcement. And so who are we making this announcement to? Well, it's to the people in our community. Wherever we're meeting together, there's an announcement to the people of the community, the unbelievers watching us get together every week, that we are, you know, announcing the Lord's death. We're there for a purpose. In 1 Corinthians also, there's reference to the testimony of the angelic world. And of course, angels don't have to see us in a building. Angels would see us where we are, and God uses them that way. But there is a special testimony to, you know, here's a group of people from different walks of life that God has united together through the work of Christ. And they're all coming together to this one place just because of the name of Jesus Christ. And there's something very special about that testimony. And then there's just to build on this, in 1 Corinthians 14, there's again a phrase about coming together in the one place. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. The whole church comes together in one place, and here they're gathering together to hear a message from the scriptures. But in verse 24, it says, if all are prophesying, that is to say, they're all explaining the mind of God, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. In verse 25, he falls down on his face and worships God and says, God is truly among you. And so here's a gathering of believers that it's in a public place. It's in a place where an unbeliever could just come on in. And, you know, quite frankly, that's not going to happen in a Zoom meeting, right? Or if it does, it's somebody we didn't want to be there, somebody who's going to come and be disruptive. But when we're meeting in a place, we're also a community testimony. And we won't, like, literally this won't happen ever if we're meeting online exclusively. We'll never have somebody come in, you know, just because they found us wandering by, you know, on our street or driving past our building or something, and they decide to come in. When the Good Samaritan in the parable the Lord Jesus told, when the Good Samaritan came where the wounded man was, he brought him to an inn. And he said, here, take care of him. And, you know, we are that inn also. We, the local church in a place where we're that inn. Somebody's got to be able to be brought to us. Just to be a little silly about it, you know, the Good Samaritan didn't give him a Zoom link and say, here, you know, go listen to this this Bible message. And we could do that. We could say, here's a great message to explain the gospel to you. If we meet somebody, but ultimately we all need to be in a place of care where we can experience that through one another.
The verse in Hebrews 10:25, It says, not forsaking assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that word assembling is what you were saying. The Greek word actually means meeting in one place. So that's the word there that goes to your point, that he's saying that the word of God is saying that we shouldn't forsake meeting in one place together. And so its encouragement is that we should be together. Because he says, it talks about exhorting one another and so much more as the day approaching, that we need one another as it gets darker, you know, iron sharpens iron. Us being together, us, you know, we're with the people of the world most of the time, right? I mean, at work, you know what I'm saying, you know, or wherever we are, you know, shopping, wherever, whatever we're doing, you know, like 90% of our lives are probably there, or 90% of our day is probably dealing with, you know, whether our jobs or whatever we're going through. It's nice when we could come aside together and be with like-minded people, even to pray for prayer meeting, to encourage each other in the word, to worship one another. It's just a good feeling. I mean, it's just something that, you know, it's just such an encouragement. So And as Jesse, you said too, is that the Lord is in the midst. That's even the greatest thing, right? And so I think what you said, Brother Steve, is important, that, you know, it's being in one place. That one place is very important.
I was thinking also just looking at the letters that Paul wrote, mm-hmm. how often he talks about how much he wants to be with them in person, mm-hmm. And like how he longs to see them. And, you know, it seems like he hated writing these letters, right? Like he didn't mm-hmm. want to have to write them. He wanted to be with them in person, but obviously circumstances, you know, forced him to write these letters. And thank God for that, because we have, you know, the scriptures. But even just like he's in prison and he's like, I trust the Lord I'll be able to be with you soon, right? And I'll be able to be with you. And how he like longs to be in the presence of mm-hmm. the believers. And you see that. And even the Lord, right? The Lord had a desire to have the Passover supper with his disciples. He had a desire to be with them and to have that and institute the Lord's Supper there. And so there's just his desire to be with them. And you just see it throughout scripture, right? Even in the Old Testament, like how many occasions where the whole nation would gather. It would be something where they all needed to gather together, whether it was to deal with a problem. You have some of that in like Judges, you have that in some of like First Samuel and stuff where they're, you know, they're calling all of the men to gather together for, you know, to deal with an issue. There's an enemy, there's a problem. And other times too, for like to gather for worship when everyone would come together. And so the argument could be made that, yeah, you can gather together in one place on this one Zoom meeting, this one link, right? There's one place technically, but it's not really. And I think it's, you kind of split hairs when we try to say that even as nice as this is, right, to have this conversation, the three of us, it would be better in person. And I think we'd all agree that it would be better in person. Even just like for technical reasons, it would be easier. But just there's things that are lost in, you know, in this communication. It puts barriers between us because it's not someone face to face. There's a screen now. And so it becomes more difficult to communicate. And even sometimes you just think about if there was a problem, right? If there's correction is needed, it's different to have a difficult conversation through a screen or over the phone than it is in person, right? It's very easy to say things you wouldn't normally say, or to, you know, be more aggressive or less kind when you have a barrier, right? You just think about how people are in the car, right? There are some very aggressive people in the car, but as soon as they get out of the car, they're not like that, right? Because it's different. So there's that barrier. And so it just, practically speaking, there's so many obstacles. Like, thank God for technology. Thank God for this ability to communicate with people all over the world. And this has greatly enhanced opportunities for gospel outreach and for community and connection with believers all around the globe. But there's still your local community of saints that it's so important and so vital, because it's not enough, right, for us to just be gathering online. The Lord wants us out to be lights in the world, mm-hmm. right? And so we're lights where we've been placed, and to gather together as testimonies is critical.
I might just add that I don't think that anybody, if we have been using technology, I want to be careful to say, you know, I don't think anybody has been sinning by using technology for that purpose.
Right.
You know, there were times where it was a necessity, right. where it was the only option. And there are other times where, you know, it still is a valuable thing and perhaps for some still a necessity. But earlier, Jesse B, you used the word convenience, and maybe that's like a good touchstone or measuring stick. You know, is it, am I doing this because it's convenient? Well, I'm not sure if convenience is a Christian virtue. Maybe that is the key for me to evaluate, you know, my use of technology. If it's just because it's convenient, then maybe I need a little adjustment. If it's because it's necessary, well, that's a different story. And maybe just make that comment too, in by way of making a distinction.
Definitely. Well, I just want to say thank you to whoever asked the question. Really appreciate it. It's a good question. It's a good discussion. Definitely practical for sure in our time. Just want to say thank you to both of you for taking the time. And also just wanted to mention that we have been getting the prayer requests and we're praying. So just if there's links and there's ways to submit prayer requests if there's anything that's needed, and we're praying for you guys.